Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And it were very funny.
Okay.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network. Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, for checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. You'll get three new interviews sent to you every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to give the series a rating, leave a review. That always helps out so much. We've had some great guests on lately, too. Luke Hemmings of 5 Seconds of Summer. Actor Nick Robinson was here to talk about starring with Millie Bobby Brown in Damsel. Tom Payne, he's in Imaginary and the upcoming Horizon, the American Saga. Joe Keery of Stranger Things fame, back with new music. We talk with Neil Finn of Crowded House. Paul Sung-Yung Lee about Avatar, The Last Airbender, and Jasmine Cephas-Jones. She's back with new music as well. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, director Johan Rindsch. We're going to be talking about the movie Spaceman, starring Adam Sandler and Carey Mulligan. It's out now on Netflix. Beautiful film about an astronaut on a solitary research mission to the edge of the solar system who is visited by a mysterious spider creature from the beginning of time, voiced by Paul Dano. He finds hiding in the bowels of the ship. Johan's going to discuss how he understands now this isn't a movie for everyone, and he has no interest in making anything feel too mainstream, but also taps into the zeitgeist of loneliness felt throughout the film. And he'll tell us about how he saw a lot of himself within the script's reflection of vanity and narcissism as well. Johan's then going to talk about directing Adam Sandler and Carey Mulligan, as well as some of his iconic music videos. He did Bowie's final videos, Black Star and Lazarus. He did a video for one of my favorite of all time, Chris Cornell's Can't Change Me. I'm going to ask about all of those and a whole lot more as we dig into the movie Spaceman, out now on Netflix. It's Kyle Meredith With Johan Rindsch. Well, first, it's a pleasure to meet you, Johan. And
likewise, Kyle.
Yeah, Spaceman, beautiful movie. Gut-wrenching movie. I think everything that I want out of a flick these days, you've accomplished on this. So the easy place to start to say congratulations.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's great. It is a film that I found, you know, in terms of people, you know, throughout the time and when people see this film, is that it's like, you know, one of those films that you either really take to because you it's sort of kind of modeled for something that works with you. But if not, it's hard to get into, I think, you know, because it has a, you know, it's not as fiction film in its traditional means. It's not, it has all the absurdist sides to it and stuff like that that I've, come to realize is like, okay, that's interesting. So for me, it's like, a lot of people that are like-minded to me, they love the film and they really get it, blah, blah, blah. But then every now and then you have a conversation with somebody and it's like, I just, I just don't get it. What's the deal? Why is it, why a spider? And so on and so forth, So it is what it is. It's fun.
That's what's great, right? Because
Oh yeah.
not every movie needs to be for every person. Not every song needs to be for every person.
A
No, usually
hundred
the boring
percent.
ones.
No, I couldn't agree more with you. And I'm like very much that type of person, I mean, I look at the wall behind you, and you think of like, if I take the music that I listen to is sort of really diminutive in the bigger scope of things. And this is not it's not by choice, but I do not listen to music that belongs in the top 40. That's not for me at all. I just don't. I never have, and I never will. And it's not because it is on the top 40, but I'm looking for music, books, films that take my experience to a place it hasn't been before. And that means that it's not done like in paint by numbers. It's not done in any kind of conventional vernacular or anything like that. It's the arts, if for lack of a better word, and they are there to be. I like to lean forward, I like to be immersed by it, and I like to feel shit through it. Otherwise, I'm not interested. So that's what it is, basically.
Right. And similarly, of course, Prince, Bowie, REM, Depeche Mode have songs in the top 40. What I always loved,
Fair
and I'm
enough.
using this compliment to you as well, is their songs that would usually make the top 40 still were challenging in some way. They figured out how to ride that line. This is still a movie that I would recommend to people to find their own, make their own decision on that. But I would wholeheartedly recommend anybody, because of how I feel about it.
No, but you're absolutely right, and my being categorical in the way I just would, of course, the Depeche Mode has had, and not, all these artists, like you say, have had a number of top 40 songs, and so maybe I'm talking about it in a more kind of
Sure.
conceptual form, but yes, I agree, and I think like the dream is for me. Sometimes you obtain it, sometimes you don't, but for me, it's like I don't see a. There's no conflict between the idea of something being really good, really properly good, and also commercially viable. There's no conflict in that, and I have no, zero. To me, it's like that's the most difficult thing you can do. To make a very square, massive box office kind of thingy, paint by numbers kind of thingy, costs a lot of money. It's a lot of hard work, but it's a pretty straightforward thing to do. And on the other hand, to do like a full-on art house film in which you don't have to give a shit about anything, more than having, whatever tickles your fancy at the moment. Obviously, it's challenging by its own nature. But the most difficult thing ever is like those films that people have made that are both tremendously good and commercially viable at the same time. That is like. That's catching lightning in a bottle, and it's also the most difficult thing you can do, I believe,
And we'll be right back right after this.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Johan Rink.
Well, I will say, you know, so many things I do love about this. Coincidentally, I was doing an interview even earlier today with Dave Wakeling from the English Beat, and he was asking me if I see themes when I talk to people, especially musicians. And I said, what I see and hear are people starting to talk about space, the universe, looking up into the sky. And I had my own theories about that, you know, whether it's escaping everything that we have around here or loneliness in a lonely time. And I find those themes in here. There is loneliness, there is depression, you know, and there is escape. This is the easy throwback to you, but what was it you wanted to say about these things? And what was it ultimately? Why did you want to make this movie?
Wow, English Beat, they're still around. I used to be a massive kind of two-tone ska fan back in the late 70s, early 80s. You know, I've saw both Madness and Specials and The Beat and Selector and all those bands back then. So that's cool to start out with. B, I'm exactly like you. I'm really fascinated by these kind of mercurial sort of zeitgeisty themes that can be ongoing at any moment. You know, like I agree with you. Many times I feel like when I start being interested in something of the kind that you're describing, that means like, oh, something is happening. You know, there's a reason I'm getting interested in this. And I've been tremendously fascinated by space, not in any scientific form, but more like the mysteries of it and the unfathomable kind of, you know, the aspects of it that are, you know, you cannot wrap your head around it. So I've been turning that way a lot. And I've been, you know, even before Spaceman, being sort of deeply going into anything by obsessing about Brian Cox, who's this kind of British astronomer who's this really charming, sweet, who also used to be a musician, actually, really amazing guy, but who has all these kind of beautiful poetic thoughts about space as of being an astronomer. So when this film came to me, it was right after Chernobyl. And weirdly enough, I just, you know, doing Chernobyl was always like science fiction to me. I really saw it as a science fiction. It kind of functioned in the kind of with the science fiction sort of as the you know, the plot device of it all was this kind of science fiction element. But doing that, you know, for me, the interest of doing science fiction again was none, you know. But when the Spaceman script came to me, Michael Parrott, who sort of optioned the book and who produced the movie and developed the film from the early start, he sent it to me. And you know, what I took to me was not at all the science fiction at all. It was that it was a story very much about me, you know. It starts there to some extent. You know, it's a story about how ambition and vanity and narcissism even has a price in terms of the relationships you're having with people around you and so on and so forth. But also, not only because you're an arrogant dick, but also because, like, for me, for instance, which, you know, it's always hard to relay until you can have somebody understand it. I do what I do because I have no choice. It's like the scorpion and the frog. It's in my nature. It's like I'm like a priest. My job is a calling to me, you know. Since I was 5 years old, I've never been employed. The only thing I've ever done is try to translate my own emotions into something tangible so that other, you know, in order to make myself understood, I guess, to other people. And they hear, see, listen to what I've done, and I go, like, I still don't get this guy. And I keep doing it again and again, you know. But so this one, you know, dealt with that to some extent, you know, because I understand Jakob Prochaska in this film. I understand his you know, his curiosity about the Chopra cloud, his sort of, you know, the ambition of doing this solo journey and being away from the planet and being away from everything for 1 year in order to kind of unravel some mystery of the universe. I understand him, but I also understand Lenka, who has this guy who's obviously, you know, has arrogance and, you know, vanity and refuses to see her to the extent he should, you know. I mean, he keeps, you know, she says to him, like, you know, when he says, like, I'm just going to do this last thing, and she says, like, you keep on saying that, you know, because that's who I have been in very many shapes and forms before, you know. So I don't know, I'm harping on here, but that was kind of what captured me on the onset. You know, that was the first thing that grasped me. And the second thing was that it had such beautiful, you know, there was something as a filmmaker. I very much like, you know, the visual aspects of filmmaking and you know, visual storytelling. I like music and images to help out to create something that we kind of want to plunge into and so on and so forth. So like anything, any material that kind of has some of that in it will interest me. Part of me would just want to go, I immediately see how we're going to do this, where we're going to put our cameras and so on and so forth. And then the last thing, which is the very practical thing of it, is like, I like when things are really difficult. My favorite feeling to be in when I'm working is like to have no idea what I'm doing, basically. And my least favorite feeling is like when I'm painting by numbers, because I've done it a million times before, you know. Yeah. And for me to deal with zero gravity, you know, CGI character, you know, to deal with, you know, this sort of primordial monster who has the ability to kind of ride your memories with him. None of that is straightforward. And a lot of it felt like almost completely impossible to do. So that also went like, okay, so we got to do this. We got to figure this out. This is fun, you know.
And we'll be right back right after.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
This. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Johan Rink.
Well, and it looks amazing. I mean, the way everything's a little bit lower tech than what you'd imagine on a space movie, but really those emotions, like, and of course I should ask, you know, to have Adam Sandler, who has shown immense range over the past few decades, but to keep him, his character, in this state of confusion and depression, what was it like directing him and your all's relationship with this character?
Let me ask you your first thing a little bit first there, actually, in terms of the lower tech. If you find yourself alone at home and you're going to be alone for 1 year, what would you find easiest to repair if it breaks down? Your iPad or your very sort of diesel-driven mechanical lawnmower? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the idea was always like, we have to have an analog spaceship, but everything is not covered behind panels or anything like that. It has to be exposed so that you can easily track and find whatever is wrong, and you can fix it with your own hands and a screwdriver or whatever it is, you know. So the idea of like people talking about like, shouldn't this be way more, you know, high tech? And it's like, no, well, it's a solo journey, and no, it shouldn't. You know, by the fact that it's a solo journey, it needs to be as analog as it possibly can be. So that's one side of that. Anyways, in terms of Adam, Adam, you know, I met him on a general meeting with it, like you do as a director. You meet actors to just like shoot some shit and see if anything happens. And I had a general with him. I really want to meet him because I'm a big fan of him as an actor. There's aspect of Punch Drunk Love that is like the greatest performance I've ever seen, and there's aspects of Uncut Gems that feel the same to me. And you know, to me, it is like something about being a comedian in more serious roles is very, very compelling, because there is something about how these funny people, when they are deprived of their ability to be funny, becomes very, very vulnerable and naked, you know. So that's one side of it. And the other side of it is that comedians are the ballsiest of all actors. They have zero fear of anything. They can have a stand-up show about, you know, I don't even know, fucking blisters in their asshole. And they can openly talk about these guys and be self-deprecating and completely expose themselves. They have no fear of being ugly or pathetic or whatever it is, you know. It's inherent in their performative stick, so to speak. And I worked with a lot of actors who, you know, you can have an idea of a scene and you can propose it, and you can see the actor like, no, I don't really feel comfortable with that. That doesn't really, and it could be, you know, that fear can come from a lot of places. Maybe that they don't know how to do it. Maybe that they feel foolish, whatever. But Adam was zero fear all the time. You know, he'll do, you know, he'll go full on, balls out, maybe is what you say in your language. on anything, because he has no fear. He lets go of any kind of railing and all that. And he's a true film lover, and he's a true kind of artist in the sense of like going to the point where we need to go with him, you know. And for me as a European also, kind of I'm not a big fan of like, you know, big movements in performances. I like performances to be subtle and kind of authentic, to be honest, you know, like you and me are talking rather than having any kind of theatricalness of it. I just don't like that at all. And it just felt also like in a movie like this that we need this to be so real and so bare and so vulnerable. And it was just like, Adam had no, you know, again, if you compare him, for instance, with Carey Mulligan, who's like a, on one hand, obviously a raw talent, but also tremendously technical. You know, she's like, there's nothing she can't do. And, you know, like that, she does it, you know. Whereas Adam is a little bit of a different animal, you know. He is very good at tapping into whatever, you know, extremely good at tapping into the emotional state he needs to be in. And he has his own methods of doing that, but it works so effectively. And then he has this other thing that, it's hard to kind of point out, but he's so profusely watchable. And there's something with his eye, you know, I just kept on going closer with the camera, just move in. I just want something with these big brown eyes and these subtle little micro eye movements, and how his inner life and his psychology are just sort of manifested in his eyes that is so effective and powerful. And that, you know, I would say to him, like, what, you know, he said, like, what do you want me to do here? You don't have to do anything. Just do that eye thing, I would say. Like, what eye thing? Just do what you're doing. There's something, you know, when you're being apprehensive, or if you're being scared or insecure, you just do it all through your eyes. And I don't fucking know how you do that, but that's what I like and that's what I want, you know. And he does that. So he's a joy to work with. He's a beautiful, beautiful human being and a great actor, massive film lover. You know, he's like, you know, he's royalty basically in the world of American actors. But it's also so personable, so wonderful to deal with, and adventurous and all that. So I could not have wished for a better partner in all of this than him.
I know I've only got a couple minutes here. I wanted to quickly say, because of your world in the music videos and those moments where the pig's floating and where Carrie's floating, and I feel like I'm in a music video at those points. But to also say that you have directed some of my favorite of all time, Chris Cornell's Can't Change Me, I've seen hundreds of times. And of course, it's got to be some kind of kismet, if not coincidence, that you directed the original Spaceman. Yeah. And here you are doing this again.
No, but I mean, isn't that how it works in life? The weird serendipity of how one thing leads to another in some strange fashion. He is the original Spaceman without a doubt. And we would talk about that in terms, you know, Adam would say, like, Adam is a massive music lover also, and you know, a talented one out at also. He would say, like, hey, man, don't you think Bowie would have dug this movie? And I said, like, you know what? I actually think he would, you know, there is something about it that I think he would have responded to. But yeah, I mean, you know, you are a product of your own, you know, of your own sort of journeys in all sets. I'm a musician myself. I used to be a recording artist in the, you know, 30 years ago. Music is an important part of me. For some reason, images have always been something that I found very compelling, you know, so that I got into this from, you know, leaving music to start putting images to other people's music. I mean, that was the first step for me and that's when I really started to realize that this is what I actually want to do. I mean, if I was as talented and brilliant as I wanted to be in music, I would be keep on doing music, but I wasn't. I could write a good song, but I was not brilliant. I was good, but not brilliant. And that wasn't working for me. But then I kind of fell into the film of it all and understood that you're working with, you know, very similar tools, but in a slightly different capacity. And I saw through that matrix much better than I saw through the matrix of music. You know, I played guitar my whole life. If you would, you know, if some band would be up there and they would ask me, hey, would you want to come up and jam? I would go like, no, fuck no. I would have no idea how to do that. But, you know, for some reason, the whole film thing from the onset was something that I really kind of understood and I decoded that immediately and understood all the parameters of it. So music became a part of the journey. You know, these images and visual storytelling became part of a journey. And, you know, at some point you end up where you end up, and you know, that's what makes you who you are. And you know, I mean, you know, do I wish I was I don't know, more of that guy or that person as a director, maybe. But you know, what are you going to do? I am what I am, and I'm just going to have to sort of deal with that.
No, I'm pretty happy that you are who you are. Like I said, and really, I wasn't joking when I say, you know, so many of your videos, and it can't change me. That fire is, pardon the expression, burned in my memory forever. Just how
that's
beautiful
incredible. I
carried
like
on
video
everyone.
Myself. I really liked that video myself, actually. I had a really good time doing that. And I remember particularly when I was doing, there was some journalists there covering from somewhere, and they came up to me and said, like, this seems to be a very ambitious video, is it? And I remember literally thinking, like, what do you mean? I mean, everything we do is with full ambition. Are you suggesting that you can do a music video and not be ambitious about it? I don't even understand what you're saying. But you know, again, I've always been like that. You know, that video, we made it tremendously difficult for ourselves in terms of, you know, trying to capture how to do that. And it was shot in, you know, and so, you know, and a lot of rounds in order to, because it's real fire, but, you know, you have, you know, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But I really like that video also. It's very me in some weird way, even though it's also very much a 90s video. But when I see that, I have kids, so every now and then I show them some old video, and I see that video and I go like, yeah, I can now, 25 years later, see that this is very much me who's done this video. There's every aspect of what I can love, and the feelings I like to sort of evoke is in this video. So, yeah, I'm very happy you liked that one, and so did I. And it's, you know, very, the tragedy, that's just this thing that keeps happening with me and my kids also, you know, like, I played him a music video, and then I go, oh, this guy is great. And then I go, yeah, and he's also dead,
and
you know?
Gone. Yeah.
And a number of things I've done that you know, they die people, you know. So my kids kind of are under this impression that all these music people, they die really young, you know,
yeah,
before they're done. Oh, anyways.
Beautiful videos and beautiful, beautiful movie with Spaceman. I mean, that I love this movie so, so much. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Oh, Kyle, thank you so much. It was a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
My thanks to Johan. Spaceman is out now on Netflix. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. You'll get 3 interviews just like this one every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And don't forget to give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired as well. After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's ready to show Monday through Friday. It starts at 6 p.m. Eastern every weekday. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There's bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured classics from Country Joe and the Fish, The Beatles, Gil Scott Heron, Alejandro Escovedo, Broadcast, The Bangles, Blondie, The Donnas, Houndmouth, The Moss, Fatboy Slam, Pixies, Tom Waits, Tori Amos, Liana LaHavas, Cage the Elephant, Pearl Jam, The Police, R.E.M., The Beaches, Paramore, Vampire Weekend, Patti Griffin, Madonna, Margaret Glaspie, and my interview with The Cranberries. Again, just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the old social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.